Well, friends, during this Advent season, as you know, we have been reading about and discussing the prophecies of the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. We've been discussing the Christmas stories that celebrate his birth in Matthew and Luke, and we have explored the many names of Jesus and what it means to call him Messiah and King, to call him Savior, to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so today, we are going to turn to John's telling of the Christmas story. The Gospel of John was the last of the Gospels written, and it's often referred to as the spiritual gospel. We see this from the very beginning of the poetic words that he uses to describe not how, but why Jesus. And why the Christmas story? In John's account of Christmas, there are no stories of Mary and Joseph. There's no journey to Bethlehem. There is no birth in a manger. There's no wise men. There's no shepherds. There's no flight to Egypt. But oh, how rich and beautiful John's Christmas story is in the prologue of his gospel. How rich and beautiful is his account of the coming of Jesus the Christ. In Cox Chapel on Christmas Eve, many of you know, on this Christmas Eve and many Christmas Eves, we begin our reading of John's Gospel, mostly in the darkness, as we discover, as one candle just comes into the chapel, we begin in darkness as we read these words, as we call and remember what it means to call Jesus the light of the world. So hear now these words from the first and the eight chapters of the Gospel of John. From John 1, verses 1 through 5 and 10 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to what was on his own. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And from John 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to thee, O Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Of course, these opening words to the prologue of John take us back in our minds and took people who lived in Jesus' day, took them back, of course, to the opening words of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, we discover that darkness covered the formless void. And then God speaks and says, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. God speaks. God's words bring creation and life into being. And the first thing God does is speak light and separates the darkness from the light. John tells us that the one whose word, the Logos, which also can mean wisdom, that God's word, the one whose word or wisdom brings life and light, has has now come to us in the flesh to live among us. For many, the thought of this, of God coming in the flesh, God coming to live and be one of us, is unfathomable, unimaginable. So today, whether you are skeptical about that or convinced, we are going to take a look at the why of the incarnation and why and how he brings light into our darkness. And we're also going to take a look at what our response to that light in the world should be. So for you who may be cynics, or you who are skeptics, or you who are convinced, for those of you who just long to have your knowledge reinforced, I'm going to begin by offering this modern parable that was penned long ago and read by the late, great radio announcer, Paul Harvey. So these are all words from Paul Harvey. Now, the man whom I'm going to introduce to you was not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, and a mostly good man, generous to his family, upright in his dealings with others, but he just didn't believe all that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a human being. "I'm truly sorry to distress you," he told his wife, "but I'm not going to be with you in church this Christmas Eve." He said he didn't want to feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay home, but that he would wait up for them. And so he stayed, and they went to the midnight service. Shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. And so he went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier, and then he went back to his fireside chair and began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled to this thudding sound, and then another, and then another, and sort of a thump and a thud. At first, he thought someone must be throwing snowballs against his living room window, but when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They had been caught in the storm, and in a desperate search for shelter, they had tried to fly through his large landscape window. Well, he couldn't just leave the poor creatures lying there to freeze, so he remembered the barn where his children had sheltered and stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter for the birds if he could just direct them into it. So quickly he put on a coat and galoshes, tramped through the dampening snow and into the barn. He opened the doors wide and turned the light on, but the birds did not come in. He figured food might entice them, so he hurried back to the house, fetched breadcrumbs. He sprinkled them on the snow and made a trail to the yellow-lighted, wide-open doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs, and they continued to flap around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them and waving his arms. Instead, they scattered in every direction except into the warm, lighted barn. And then he realized they were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, "I am a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Because any move he made tended to frighten them and confuse them, they just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. If only I could be a bird," he thought to himself, "and mingle with them and speak their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to be safe in the warm barn. But I would have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand." And at that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind, and he stood there listening to the bells of the glad tidings of Christmas, and he sank to his knees in the snow. The word of flesh. The Word became flesh and lived among us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The one who shouted, "Let there be light," came to us in Jesus. The Word, the creative power and the wisdom of God that spoke all those things into being and sustains the universe, took on flesh in a manger in Bethlehem to show us the way and to light our path, as we have been discussing over these last 3 weeks, to light our path that leads to life and light and love for other people. There's a lot of darkness in our world right now. We've all witnessed the dark of evil and adversity and gloom and despair, all of that, and grief this year. It's been a hard year. We have seen the darkness of hate and racism played out right before our eyes and all too often. And of course, we are living in the darkest moments of the pandemic. People's livelihoods continue to be disrupted. Families remain apart. By now, all of us, not only know multiple friends or family who have had the virus, but all of us probably know at least one or more person who has succumbed to COVID's ravages. More than a few of my friend's parents have died due to COVID this year. A husband of a dear friend of mine, as we speak, is clinging to life in an IC unit from COVID. Over 300,000 Americans have lost their lives this year to this virus alone. And week before last, I saw some statistics on the deadliest days in U.S. history, and they read like this. The Galveston hurricane, 8,000 people. The Battle of Antietam in the Civil War, 3,600 people. September 11th, 2001, 2,977 people lost their lives. Last Thursday, 2,861. Last Wednesday, 2,762. Last Tuesday, 2,461. Pearl Harbor, 2,403. But those stats were from last week or week before last. Each day and every day since then has read like a statistic from Pearl Harbor and September 11th. Yesterday, as in other days, the death toll passed 3,000. This is darkness in our lives that needs light. And friends, our scripture, our Christmas story, our gospel tells us there is light. We see on Christmas Eve when our soloist enters the back of Cox Chapel, singing "Once in Royal David's City" and carrying this single light and bringing it into the darkness, that it doesn't take much light to pierce the darkness. And each week in Advent, as we light another candle on our Advent wreath, we are reminded that we are closer and closer to Christmas. The greater the light becomes as we light each candle, until finally on Christmas Eve, the Christ candle is lit. And we celebrate that the light of the world has been born. We're reminded that the people who walked in great darkness have seen a great light, and on them light has shined in the love and the light of Jesus Christ. God has come to show us who God is, to show us the depth of the love that God has for us. And Jesus reminds us in his indwelling that we are not alone. He walks with us in our darkness, and in our darkest hours, he calls us to walk in the light of his love with him. As Adam Hamilton said in his book Incarnation, that we have been referring to these last 3 weeks, Jesus came to embody the light of God's compassion to the sick, to offer the light of God's mercy to sinners, to those of us who stray off the path of God's intended direction for our lives. Jesus came to teach us how to live as children of the light. And in his death and resurrection, he pierced the darkness of death and grief and the worst that humanity can be, bringing humanity into the light of hope and to the promise that, as Frederick Buechner says, the worst thing is never the last thing. The worst thing in our world today is never the last thing. We are all aware of the darkness that surrounds us, and so is God. God knows about the hungry and the homeless. He knows about those who are abused and battered. God knows of those who are overworked in ERs. God knows all of you who grieve. And yet we ask, and so where is God in the middle of this? Why didn't God do anything to stop this? And God's answer is, I did do something. I sent Jesus as the light of the world so you could see what to do. In the midst of the darkness of the light of Christ has shined, and it has come through the hands and feet of all of those who follow him. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But Jesus also says in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. And he's speaking there to his disciples. And the word you in that verse is a plural you. If Jesus had been a Texan, he would have said, y'all are the light of the world. Friends, as children and followers of Jesus filled with his Spirit, you all are the light of the world who reflect his light and his love to others. I was reminded this week of that when I saw pictures of members of the fellowship class here at the church on our outreach Facebook page. You, many of you are part of that class, you or they, all had this wonderful virtual drive-through for their Christmas party. And during that drive-through, they collected items to benefit the staff of Polk Elementary, which is one of our community partners. Each staff person, more than 63 people at Polk Elementary, received a personal note of encouragement. And all of the class members donated gift cards so that every staff member at Polk received a $100 gift card. These are staff and teachers who have been working in the middle of the pandemic, who've been teaching children and working with children. And friends, this is happening all over our church. You all have given coats and cash for coats and toys for Wesley Rankin and City Square. You have fed the hungry and the homeless. When you wear a mask and stay socially distanced, you are protecting others and being the light of Christ in the world. When you send a note of encouragement or make a phone call or take food to someone who is sick, or you sit with those who are grieving in their darkness, you are the light of the world. To quote Adam Hamilton, we are God's plan for changing the world. We are God's strategic plan for addressing poverty. We are God's plan for addressing injustice, for healing wounds of injury and suffering. We are God's plan for including every person in his beloved community. We are not just passive recipients of God's grace and mercy and love. As we become children of light, we cannot keep that light within ourselves. It reminds me of the song that we learned as children, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We can't help but let it shine. That light is meant to spill out from us naturally and to touch the lives of everyone we meet. And every time it does, it's like the light on our Advent wreath. It's like the candles that we light as we sing Silent Night on Christmas Eve. One lights the other and lights the other, and soon the light extends little by little by little, and the darkness recedes bit by bit, and the kingdom of God expands, and the world is changed. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it, friends. May you hear this word. May you accept his light and reflect his light to everyone you meet this Christmas season. God bless you. Amen.